Someone always had to be the first of their people to come to America, but this next story isn't one of exploration, it's of exploitation. The first Chinese woman, maybe the first Asian woman to ever set foot on U.S. soil, was probably 14-year-old Afang Moy, brought by American traders in 1834, displayed in a New York museum, and called the Chinese lady. People came to gawk at her bound feet. What must she have thought? Well, that's the premise of a new play.
Hello. My name is Afang Moy. It is the year 1834. I am 14 years old and newly arrived in America.
The show, The Chinese Lady, is witty and profoundly sad. It premiered recently at the Barrington Stage Company in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, a co-production with New York's Ma Yi Theater. Playwright Lloyd Suh joins us now. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And that voice we heard is actress Shannon Tayo, who portrays the Chinese lady. She joins us as well from Pittsfield. Shannon, welcome to you as well.
Happy to be here.
Lloyd, start with you. You are of Korean descent. So how did you come to this story?
I came across the story in the preface of a book about the history of Asian America, just like a sentence about her. It sparked something in me. And I then went into kind of a deep dive, trying to research anything I could find about her, and was startled to find that there was not a lot.
When it's such an extraordinary thing, so here she is set up to be looked at by Americans in sort of a staged area where these traders put a lot of their Chinese wares that they were bringing back into the country and they wanted to sell. Shannon, you're also Korean-American. So I wondered, you know, your thoughts, first of all, on approaching this character. Could you identify with this idea of an Asian woman being looked at, almost like a something in a zoo?
The interesting thing about being Asian American is we are not quite at the point where we're able to be separated out into Chinese American or Japanese American or Korean American. And in that sense, I think Asian Americans in general can very much identify with the idea of being looked at and being othered by Americans who potentially would not consider us to be American.
And in your case, you are.
Yes.
And in her case, she was not. She was something exotic. Let's listen to a little of her thoughts as written by Lloyd. She's a captive and somewhat at the mercy of her translator, A Tong. So let's listen to a clip from that. First, A Tong speaks.
I am A Tong. I am...
Atong is irrelevant.
I am irrelevant. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say I am irrelevant.
Atong has been in service of Mr. Nathaniel and Frederick Carne as a manservant and translator of Chinese to English and back again. He is now assigned to me.
Tell us more about how you imagined who she was, because you give her real spunk.
Yeah, and I want to make a point of clarity that the notion of ownership is a complicated one as well. The historical assumption is that she was going to the United States as an ambassador, not in this explicitly demeaned way, but more in a way that could arguably or theoretically be conceived as this incredible opportunity to share something of her culture. And so a big part of the character's introduction is in this sense of hope. And the other part of that question is about how to even begin to imagine what the psychology or the motivations of Afang Moy might be. As the play progresses, it becomes about the yearning of human beings to be relevant and to make a connection.
But meanwhile, most of the people who came to see her back then want to see her feet. And there's this little news clipping that you might have found in your research, you know, people talking about how she's coming and people will get to see her astonishing little feet in big capital letters. And that means, of course, she has to take her shoes off. And Shannon, I'm just wondering how you felt when your character playing Afang Moy tells those of us who were put in the position of being the people looking at her as if in a museum. She talks about, when I was 4 years old, my feet were placed into a hot mixture of herbs and animal blood to soften the skin and muscles. Bones were broken so that the foot could be bound. Your thoughts when you speak these words?
Foot binding is a really extreme example I think, of cultural relativism. I've watched a lot of interviews with women who are alive right now who do have bound feet. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion about how it's very painful. Obviously, it alters the way that you walk for the rest of your life. But a lot of women are very proud of it because it is seen as a sign of social status. And the very interesting point that Afong makes in the play is equating it to practices in America that were seen potentially by outsiders as barbaric, such as corsets. And the very extreme example she makes is the transatlantic slave trade. So in every culture, I think there are things that are seen by outsiders to be curious at the least and barbaric at the most extreme. The important thing is to focus on the fact that Afong doesn't think it's awful. She finds it to be rather beautiful in a way.
Lloyd, did she really get up and walk around the room at different times for the people who'd come to see her?
She did, yeah. That's one of the things that seems to be consistently stated part of the routine. It's very much my hope that the play asks a contemporary audience watching it to interrogate their own assumptions about what their feelings are when they enter and what they are at the end of the play when they've spent some time with Afong Moy.
We mentioned the interpreter Atang, and there's another scene in which we see how much she relies on him in this kind of symbiotic relationship they have. It's a scene in which they recount how she met then-President Andrew Jackson, not ironically the same president responsible for the Trail of Tears that resulted in the deaths of 5,000 Native Americans. Atang translated for Afong at this presidential meeting, and you can see that he sort of short-circuited everything she said. Let's listen.
I admire the American people for their boundless curiosity and fierce individuality.
American people also good, I think.
I have had the great privilege of seeing so much of America and have been performing to sizable crowds.
I am so happy. Many Americans see me.
So, Lloyd, what were you saying there, again, about the inability of the Chinese lady to actually be who she is?
I hope I'm saying more than one thing. I think it's a very complicated moment. There is certainly the difficulty of communication, what one hears in translation. As that scene develops, it shifts rather dramatically, both in terms of Atang's relationship with the translation, his relationship with how he's translating for her, not just from her words, but translating Jackson's words back to her.
She says, when a white person asks me a complex question such as, are you excited to tour the country? I can only say yes or yes, sir, very much. When I want to say, I cherish the opportunity like a flower cherishes sunlight, that the thought of seeing the whole of America roots in me like a jewel that's lodged inside my eyes and colors every part of my vision, then you have Atang saying, well, when she says things like that, I translate them as, she says, yes, she's excited. And then Afong says, and so these white people, they think I'm simple. I must not allow that. I must express my voice. This is my obligation to the world. So you picture the Chinese lady as somebody struggling to break out of perceptions and the museum box that she's in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think of this notion that as Asian American theater artists, how are we seen? What do people expect from us? How do we navigate with integrity the expectation that we should perform? At what point do you begin to lose your personhood?
And also, playwright Lloyd Sa, you begin to imagine an Afong Moy, as she grows older, as someone who watches the march of history and watches the terrible things this country did to the Chinese as they came, and thinks that she's the one who failed by not winning people over to the Chinese. She speaks these words. In 1871, a mob of 500 Californians descend upon the residents of Los Angeles Chinatown. 52 Chinese Americans are injured. 20 are tortured and lynched. Perhaps if I had done things differently. Shannon, as you got to that part of your character as the play progresses?
It's heartbreaking. It was one of the things that I first connected with upon reading it, because it is such a generous act to take the blame upon herself, and just speaks to the tremendous responsibility that she felt when she first came over as a 14-year-old child, that she was going to come to America and be an ambassador, and then to come to terms with the disappointment of her expectations. Hmm. It's heartbreaking. Hmm. And this sort of history remains so unknown within the realm of American history. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I would hope that somebody who came to see the play would be able to relate more to these historical events because you're being led through by this character who you've watched grow.
Here she is again. It's the year 1885. I'm 65. In Sweetwater County, Wyoming, a safe place for the Chinese is burned to the ground by a mob of 150 white men, resulting in the mutilation, decapitation, castration of 50 Chinese-American minors. Again, this history put together by playwright Lloyd Suh in his play The Chinese Lady, about a real-life young Chinese woman who was brought to the United States as a curiosity. Actor Shannon Tayo plays Afong Moy. The new production is at the Barrington Stage Company for just a little while longer. Shannon, Lloyd, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.